Welcome, everyone, to the Game Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Schuster, and joining me tonight are Mark Myers, Jenny Aquino. Tonight, we talk Death Stranding, Game Boy memories, and review our retro roulette game, Days of Thunder. But before we get to that, what have you guys been playing?
Yeah, so let me start off first, just so we can get this game out of the way, so that Ant listens to the rest of the podcast. So did a little recording of the first hour or so of Death Stranding. We had some technical difficulties multiple times, so feel free to watch it if you want to, or if not, I wanted to show them, Tom and Jenny, the first couple hours here, just so they can kind of get an idea of the game. I'll have my full review, probably not the next Game Vault, probably the one after, which essentially I think it would take me a month or a little more to beat. But yeah, so my first thoughts is, after watching videos and stuff on it, it looks a lot better than I thought, which isn't a surprise. Like, from the videos, I'm like, oh, this isn't going to look great on a regular PS4, you know, sort of setup. And yeah, I guess, you know, the issues I had with control with the performance, you know, maybe have a lower expectation, but it was great. It looks good. The gameplay seems like something I would get into. We'll see if the story holds me, because Kojima can get really wacky and it can go really poorly and just make no sense and all that. Or it could be a really good story. That is still on the fence, but I think the gameplay, unless it becomes too repetitive, will be something I would have fun with, because I do play the personas and stuff like that. So building up your skill tree and, you know, trying to make sure you do everything perfectly, you know, is one of those things in my wheelhouse. So I'll have more thoughts later on. I'll probably be tweeting out stuff as insane stuff occurs and, like, sort of the spoiler window goes up. So what did you guys think?
That shit.
That's pretty much what I was about to say. It's very confusing. I'm still kind of interested to, I probably won't play it right away still. I'm kind of interested to follow along a little bit longer and see if I still think that it's weird and confusing. And then I'll decide if I actually want to play it.
Yeah, there's a couple streams going on now. I would recommend, if you want, the one I watch, the guy I watch for streams like this is, on Twitch. It's Adam Coble. So if you want to look up his full playthrough. He likes to have fun with it, and he's also a really good photographer, so he'll probably have some really cool things to say about the cinematography and, you know, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'd be my recommendation for a stream. Okay. But yeah, so because I'm not going to be streaming, you know, after the technical failure we had with probably the power strip giving out or the power brick giving out on my computer. But yeah, so I'm interested to see what the opinion, now that it's in the wild, it's all going to be a grain of salt, because there's going to be people that are going to say they love the game just to be mad at IGN because
what
they
did
gave
IGN
it a 6.8.
Give it? 6.8. I mean, that's not that bad.
Yeah, you got to use the whole scale, man.
I mean, you get everything can't be an 8 or a 7. Things can have to be below that sometimes.
Yeah,
and I mean,
go ahead.
I was just saying, just judging by the first, you know, hour and a half or whatever we saw, there was no game. You didn't do anything. I imagine it'll, you know, branch out and you'll be able to do more things. But the first hour or so, I think we were joking. I think you walked two places.
Yeah.
With no other gameplay.
Yeah, which is good for the type of stream we were doing. Not going too deep into it. And also with the scores, it's fun because of all the streamers I've seen, like GameStop gave it a 9. I've seen a couple 10s out there, which is ridiculous. And there's only certain games that really deserve that 10 spot. And I'm more on the, I've always liked what old GameStop did, whether it was Greg Kasavin or Jeff Gerstmann or whoever was running the reviews at the time, is if you were going to give something a 10, they would sit you down in like a 20-minute meeting and you had to explain why that was a 10. You know,
I mean,
you couldn't just throw it out there.
Yeah, I think that's an okay thing to do, because a 10 is a big deal. It should be a big deal. It shouldn't be just handed out to anything.
Yeah, it's funny to hear them sort of throw shade at new GameSpot, because by the time both of them left, there were only like 8 tens ever given out. And since then, it's like doubled or more.
Of course.
In the 12 years since they've been there, since they left. Anyway, with game reviews, you know, it's fun to see because on Giant Bomb with Dan Reichert, who's like as big of a Metal Gear fan as you can find, praises Kojima. He's the type of person with Kojima that Ant would absolutely hate, in the way he praises him and all that. And he thinks this game is shit. So I don't know what that says. I don't know if he went for something different, or maybe he thought or maybe Dan thought he liked Kojima, but he actually just liked Metal Gear, if you know what I'm saying there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, because like we were saying during the stream, this is from what I'm gathering here, it doesn't appear to be anything like a Metal Gear game. There may be some sneaking elements at some point, but other than that, it's nothing like a Metal Gear.
Yeah.
It's verbose. Yeah. That's about all I can say. The Metal Gear's verbose. This is the same type of thing.
Yeah. So any final thoughts, Jenny, before I move on to my second game, which I've played a lot more of?
No, I mean, I like you said, I think I'm going to check out a couple streams and listen to hear what your final thoughts are when you beat the game, or at least get further in the game. I don't even know what to think. It's kind of towing the line between being interesting because it's so out there and being really stupid because it's so out there. So I don't know where I fall yet.
Yeah. So second game that I played a lot more of that I tried to beat before this podcast, but I think I just ran out of time, was Outer Worlds from Obsidian. Thank God for Game Pass. So I could play this since I was basically saving my money for Death Stranding so that we could have the coverage of it. That game's real good. The parts I love about it is that it feels like they took New Vegas, which is my favorite Fallout game, and just built on it, but they tightened it a lot more with like a lower budget and sort of, you know, it's not this giant open world. I think the furthest you have to travel is like 1,000 meters at any point. Mm-hmm. You know, between two locations. It takes places on different planets. You know, they kind of tightened it a little bit and made zones rather than a giant open world. The writing is spectacular. It's funny in a clever way and not a, like, nudge-nudge, like, elbow, like, sort of, you know.
Hey, we're in on it.
Yeah, like Borderlands has a lot of those. You know, obvious internet meme jokes every so often, you know, and stuff like that. Like, that type of humor is a different type. This is just like, you have to be a little up on, like, it's all about corporations and, you know, is it good corporations having power? Is it bad? You know, sort of thing. And they play off how evil these corporations are in this world. So it's a nice sense of humor back and forth, like how people are like, oh, what do you mean weekends? What are they? You know, sort of, you know. But one of my favorite parts, and they did this great.
Don't spoil it.
No. In Fallout and in this game is the companion. They did a really good job with that, which the other Fallout games have not done well. The Bethesda headed one. So you look forward to that, Tom. Yes, the companions are really, really well done. It's funny, my favorite companion, I didn't realize at first why I connected so much to her, and, you know, wanted to take her on every mission, and then I found out she was voiced by Ashley Birch.
Oh, that's why.
And I was like, oh, I love Ashley Birch. That is why I was like, oh, you know, she's a really good voice actress, and, you know, I just connected that. Maybe it was a little bit of, you know, Chloe in my head from Life is Strange.
Oh, well, but, there you go.
But yeah, so yeah, you'll find, you know, there's companion missions, you know, sort of like a Mass Effect 2 type thing in there that you'll enjoy. I would recommend, you know, doing as many side quests as you can. I don't think you need to do all of them, just from, because I've done a lot, almost every one you could possibly do so far. And there's some you can definitely skip, but do the companion one. Those are the really good ones. So my review so far is high recommendation for it. Probably going to be in my top three conversation for Game of the Year. So I'll see how it ends, whether it'll, you know, because right now it's sort of like Resident Evil 2, Control, Fire Emblem, you know, those are sort of vying for that top spot there. Link's Awakening, Probably won't vibe for up there because as good a game that is, it is, you know, still. And I didn't mean to bring this up with the topic we're gonna do later, but it's still kind of structured like a Game Boy game. In there. So yeah. So Outer Worlds, highly recommended. I'm waiting to hear your thoughts on it, Tom. After you play a little bit more of it. But yeah. I guess maybe that's a way to transition into what you're playing.
Sure. I'll go next. So yeah, I started Outer Worlds today. I just got real basic with everything. I was just going through character creation and getting into the first, like, I don't know, the first 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm playing it on PC. It looks incredible, so I'm happy about that. I like the fact that when you are about to pick your, what the hell is it called? It's really late, and we've been talking for 4 hours, and I can't speak anymore. When you pick what you're going to say, it tells you everything, as opposed to Fallout 4, where it says, like, two things, and then it just says, like, four other things after that for no reason.
Yeah, the dialogue choice.
The dialogue tree. Thank you. So your dialogue trees, it says every word that you're going to say, and I like that a lot more than the way Fallout's been going about it, where you, like I said, you just, you get to pick between like four things, and it doesn't actually tell you what you're going to say, and you can be like, no, I didn't want to say that, but I do like the way they're going about that. I like that it kind of has VATS, even though that it's not VATS.
It's better VATS.
Yeah, it's not like loading up an option, you're just... It just slows down time. It's like Max Payne meets VATS.
Yeah, yeah. As you level up, you'll see, if you haven't read the level up things yet, you'll get a point to where you can actually aim for body parts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I'm sure
that's not a spoiler, that you can literally read that on your upgrade screen.
No, yeah, that's fine. As long as it's not story stuff, I don't really care.
Yeah.
But yeah, I played that briefly. I beat Astral Chain.
Nice.
I powered through that to make sure I beat it for this. And man, does that game go off the deep end. Not necessarily in a bad way, but God, okay. You know how I was saying, like, it's a super Japanese game?
Yeah.
It just took it to the next level in the end of the game.
Oh, boy.
And I will give you a warning. The end boss is fucking bullshit.
Is it fucking bullshit in the way that it's hard to beat, or that it's way too easy to
beat? It's hard to beat. Okay. So, the last chapter, I'm not going to spoil anything, but they tell you, like, you're not going to be able to come back to the base or whatever for a while.
Point of no return.
And it's the final dungeon, whatever. I'm fine with that. But it's like a boss rush, and you don't heal in between.
It's like Mega Man.
Right. So, like, there's these things called... you have like an AED charge. So if you die, it just brings you back to life, gives you full health. So if you die stupidly in the beginning or something, you don't get that back. You have to make sure that you have purchased as many items as you possibly can, because you don't, there's no way to, they don't heal you between each fight like you would in a RPG or something.
Okay.
So I eventually got so fed up that I put it on casual and so the most annoying thing was, when you change play styles, it takes you all the way back to the beginning of the level. At the end, which is like an hour later.
Oh no.
I about freaked out when that happened. But luckily, when it's on casual, it's like a million times easier to beat.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no real difference in what happens. So I basically just skipped all the cutscenes and I beat all the people, and then I got to the end and whatever. It was way easier, that's for sure. Like, the difference between normal and like casual is crazy. Like, I didn't even try when I was doing casual. I got through the whole level in like 30 minutes. But when I was on normal difficulty, it took me like an hour. Okay. Easy.
Wow.
But that was the only time I ever had to knock the difficulty down. And it was kind of my fault, and it's kind of the game's fault, because they don't tell you, like, you're not going to heal at all between anything.
That whole thing. Just a quick question. I want to see how good the design is. Did they, on that point of no return, Did they give you like some kind of shop or something where you could purchase stuff?
Oh yeah, you could purchase stuff. I just didn't realize how much stuff you needed.
I've seen some games, like, I think, for instance, like, I don't know if you're still playing through it, or you probably will, but, like, the end of Final Fantasy IX,
mm-hmm.
You have to literally travel back to restock if you want.
Oh, that's annoying.
You know, there's not a vendor right at the final save. You'll see why. It makes sense story-wise why there wouldn't be someone there.
Okay.
But I've seen, like, games like that where it's like, oh. And I think that might have been one of the first games where I realized, I was like, I'm just going to pack up on a whole bunch of elixirs and Phoenix Downs and just, you know.
Well, yeah,
and then you end up in those games with like 80 or more of those left.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing is you're limited on how many of each thing you can carry.
Oh, that's bad.
So you can, right, so you can only, you have like, I want to say you have like 10 spots, but yeah, you can only carry like 2 things in each spot. Which is terrible.
Yeah, that's true.
Some of them are higher, some of them are 2 or less. I can't remember exactly what, but
if it's under 99, it's too low.
Oh yeah, you can't carry more than 8, I think. I think one of the things you can carry 8 of them, and that's it. And you can buy stuff at the beginning of the level, like before you go to the last dungeon, and then that's it. You can't like go. There's nowhere to purchase anything else, or you can pick stuff up while you're going through it, but you can't like purchase anything after that.
Yeah.
So that's why I had thoughts, because I was so pissed at this stupid game. That was literally the only time I had to knock it down to casual. I beat the rest of the game normally.
It's okay, Tom. You're a filthy casual gamer now. So.
Like, now that I know what happens, I could probably go back and buy a bunch of items and do it.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to. I have so much other crap I gotta play.
Yeah, at this point, that's why I've started playing. That's why I was considering when we started Death Stranding, was like, should I just play this on easy? You know, but, and then when it came up with the message that I can bump it down, I'm like, okay, let me try on normal and see if it's an easy normal. Like, Outer Worlds is kind of an easy normal.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm like,
yeah.
Back in the day, I would try to play things through once on normal, and then I'd go back and try it on a harder difficulty.
Yeah.
John, our buddy John, he does something crazy, and he will bump it up in difficulty right off the bat. I don't know what kind of crazy person does that these days.
Yeah.
Like, I make sure that you still see the same ending, and if you are, and there's no, like, different achievements attached to it, then I'll just play it on whatever the easiest I can.
Yeah. My favorite thing with achievements is the ones where if you beat it on the hardest difficulty, it gives you all the achievements for the easier ones.
Yeah, like if there's that, then I'll just try it automatically on the hardest difficulty. Yeah. But if not, then forget it.
I think that's the only time I ever do the hardest difficulty on anything is like, oh, if all these trophies pop if I beat this, you know, I might as well just go and get as many trophies as possible.
Yeah.
On it, but now that you finished it. What if you had to give it a score, what do you give it?
If I had to give it a score, I'd give it probably 7.7.
Okay. we're going IGN scale here, I see.
Sure. Yeah, I mean I just feel like 7.5 is not enough and 8 is too much.
Got it.
So
I'm like, all for the non half point system.
Okay.
I'm documented giving things.
If we're going out of 10, if we're going out of 10, I'd say 7.7. Okay. As of right now, I think it's the only game I've beat this year, I think. That came out this year. I need to clarify. Because I beat Red Dead 2 this year and Spider-Man, but neither of those came out this year.
Yeah, so and just to let you know, when we do our Game of the Year podcast, you don't necessarily have to have beaten the game to rank it. We're not going to be that stingy. If you got a game that you're about halfway through and you think it's the best game you played this year.
I do have to, I will have questions about that when we get there, because there's other things I want to, I'm curious.
Oh, we're doing
about other
categories too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, because there's games I played that had expansions this year that really were good. So I don't know if we're going to get into that.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah, I know one category for sure is I want to do best character.
Okay.
In a game, because I have a nominee for that, which, depending on how far you get in a certain game that we're going to do a exchange, you might enjoy that character as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah. So I'm glad that it was worth it. A lot of those, especially non-Bayonetta Platinum games, can go either way at the end. You know, they can fall apart, or they can, like was it Vanquish did, and just got better and better as that game went along.
Yeah, I mean, luckily, you know what I was saying, I got mad because there was a stealth mission, and I hated it. Luckily, yeah. There was only, like, one more stealth mission after that, and it was way easier for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So they kind of backed off on that, and it was the action game I was hoping for. I also kind of just plowed through it. I didn't do, like, all of the... Because, like, there's all the side cases that you can do.
Yeah.
I didn't do... Like, towards the end, I just stopped doing them, and I didn't care, because I just wanted to get through the story.
Oh, okay.
But,
Good to hear.
Yeah. I mean, because they kind of only do a certain number of things, like a few things in those. You kind of just, it's, oh, go ask around about this guy. Oh, go chase this guy. It's so, there's not a whole lot of differentiation between the different cases, but the story overall was pretty good. It was definitely a Japanese game. Like, I want to spoil it so bad, but I'm not going to, because you're actually going to play it. So
yeah.
Once you finish it, I want to talk about it.
Got it. Will do.
And I think that was pretty much it. I think I've been playing Destiny 2. I played Destiny 2 a bunch today in the past week. Because it's the, what's it called? There's a, like an event going on right now. I can't remember what it's called, but it's, it's the Halloween event.
Yeah.
It's got some fun new stuff going on right now. So, anybody who's playing Destiny, I'm sure they are enjoying it right now. These are usually the fun parts when they do different events during the year, because they usually do a Halloween and a Christmas event and all kinds of stuff, and they find a way to make it make sense in the world, which is nice. But that's pretty much it that I've been playing. Jenny?
I haven't been up to too much. Obviously, playing Days of Thunder. And beating this little game called The Link to the Past.
Oh,
nice.
Yep. I made it my way through the first of my list.
One question right off the bat.
Yep.
How long did it take you to beat the final Ganon boss?
Oh, my God. probably close to an hour.
Yeah. Because
it's really, really, really ridiculously hard.
Yeah. Once you know that... Again, this is coming from someone that's beaten that game over 30 times. Once you figure out the patterns and stuff, playing through that game, it's still frustrating because you can still get caught and knocked off the ledge and have to restart.
That happened to me so many times.
Over again. So you kind of get to learn the pattern. You can do it. And that I always ask that question whenever someone beats the game, because that is probably the most difficult fight in the game. It's not the most frustrating. I hate that guy in the Tower of Hera, the third boss you fight.
Yeah.
I hate that guy with a passion. I remember, we'll get back to your games real quick. When our buddy John's wife was playing it, when he hooked up a Raspberry Pi for the first time, and he said, yeah, she's yelling and cursing at something. And I described the boss, and he was like, yeah, that's it. I was like, yeah.
That's funny.
Everybody stupid hates worm that knocks you down the hole.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I'm excited to hear your thoughts. Got
it. Yeah. So overall, I really liked it. I might have said this on the last podcast with my initial reaction when I first started playing, but I am surprised how into it I got. It definitely gave me the whole old Game Boy days vibe, which I really liked. The storyline was good. The graphics were perfectly fine, and I'm like a huge graphics snob. As you know, all my favorite games are like Skyrim, Fallout, Horizon Zero Dawn. So I didn't know how into it I would get because of that, but I really liked it. I would say that this is probably one of the most frustrating games I've played in a long time. The dungeons were fun. Like, I didn't know if I would enjoy it or not, but the dungeons were fun. The bosses were super frustrating. I can probably give a better, like, once I get my thoughts together a little bit better, I can probably give a better review overall of the game. There were just little things that frustrated me, like, the game kind of starts you out and you, I think we've talked about this before in the past, there's just really, there's a lot of things about the game that you don't know and you wouldn't know unless you had a walkthrough or a guide back in the day by the book. So I started that out not following anything because I wanted to see if I could figure it out. And there are just things that I never would have known, like running into the trees to make things fall out, running into the clusters of rocks to break them. Dan was watching me most of the time, so he would tell me if I looked stuck, kind of like you helped me with Final Fantasy, Mark. Yeah. If I was stuck, he would tell me, like, oh, you need to move that because there's a fairy hole there or whatever. So I definitely, if Dan wasn't around, I did have to resort to looking up kind of like a guide every once in a while. Yeah. It was difficult. I thought the dark world was way harder than
the regular
world at first, but then you wind up, you know, upgrading your stuff and then things don't hit you as hard.
I don't know how much you looked up, but did you upgrade your sword any more than from just the master sword?
Yeah, I had the strongest sword.
Oh, so you got the butter sword. Okay.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. I pretty much got everything. I think I had everything in the end, but that was because Dan was helping me just because he remembered playing when he was a kid.
Yeah.
So he directed me on how to get everything, but that's something else I never would have known. To, like, throw your stuff into the pool of water, and there's just a lot that relies on you having a guide.
Yeah, I'm excited for you to see the randomizer.
Yeah.
Now that you've played through the game.
That's true. Yeah. I was thinking about that, whether I would actually go through a randomizer, because I know you really like them. And I get why, because if you get lucky and you get something really powerful, then really it definitely changes the game. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So... yeah, I liked it overall. Like, again, I would get very frustrated with it and have to stop for a little while, but it was a good kind of frustrated because I really enjoyed it to the point where I wanted to keep playing. It wasn't a game where I wanted to just give up on. So I'm excited for the next in my series, which is Ocarina of Time. So I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome.
Yeah, have you played anything else? Do you have any phone game updates?
No, actually, surprisingly, I don't, because I've been playing so much A Link to the Past that that's pretty much all I've been doing after work. It took me a little while to beat it, but I got there.
Nothing wrong with that. That's the whole. That's the beauty of video games. You can play whatever you want from whatever, you know, whatever system from whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. I love it. I'm just glad that you sound like a first time player of that game.
Yeah.
And that it wasn't too hard or too easy. The word frustrating is what that game should be, because especially playing it nowadays, because back then we would have had the book that would have told you how to do certain things. So some of that stuff that you looked up would have just been in the book anyway, so it's not really cheating. But so I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to the rest.
All right.
I'm looking forward to hearing about the rest. So, Jenny, do we have any news this week?
We do. We only have a few things to go through real quick, just because we have a lot to talk about. So the first topic that I wanted to discuss was a gaming curfew. I don't know if you guys heard about, but China has imposed a gaming curfew for minors. So basically, they're doing this in an attempt to prevent or curb any video game addiction underage gamers are experiencing. So basically, you are not allowed to play online games if you're under the age of 18 from 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. during the weekdays or on public holidays, you're only allowed to play for 90 minutes a day. And then they're go ahead.
How do they plan on keeping them from doing it?
I believe what they're doing, so they're asking a lot of the video game companies, the online games, to force people who are playing to prove their age. So you have to use your real name to register with their platforms, and then you have to give, like, your phone number, your personal identification number, and they go through all these different steps to prove that you are who you are. So I guess if you don't have a valid few forms of identification, you can't play.
Yeah, and then they probably use all that information they collect from you to sort of, you know, shut down your system, cut off your internet.
This is like...
You know, it is communist China.
I mean, yeah. Well, this is like 1984 stuff.
It's pretty crazy.
Big Brother's watching.
They're also... It gets a little crazier, too. They're placing a limit on online spending. So, I guess Fortnite style. So, basically, if you're 8 to 16, I believe, you can only spend up to... I'll just convert it. It would be $29 a month.
That's actually probably a slightly good thing.
Yeah.
That's not a terrible thing. I could get on board with that, but I don't know about the whole limiting time.
Yeah. They're basically the gist of it is that they're claiming that excessive video gaming is hazardous to your health. They're calling it an addiction, and some places have actually set up addiction centers for people who are addicted to video games. So I guess as they're feeling the after effects of not being able to play all night long, they're opening these addiction centers for these people. So yeah, it's pretty nuts.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a problem. There's probably a problem in America that just doesn't go written about or reported on. But I know in the... With the online gaming scene in Asian countries like Japan, Korea, you know, I guess China, apparently, you know, with like StarCraft and, you know, now Overwatch and, you know, those games like that where, you know, those kids get really, really into it. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's where all the gold farming and stuff from World of Warcraft and all that stuff, you know, comes from, is that they'll play it 16, 18 hours a day. And, you know, it's probably the equivalent to kids on Fortnite here, sort of thing. But, yeah, even in England, you know, some games are banned there because they could promote gambling or addiction, mm-hmm. you know, sort of thing, like in minors. So, a lot of the stuff you mentioned in the story, Jen, you know, some of it, if it wasn't the country that's doing it, I could go, all right, maybe. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it is China, you always have this nefarious thing in your head of, you know, that it's, you know, going to be used for control, which is what it basically is. But right. Especially the curfew thing. Like they have their own Facebook and things like that because they don't allow actual Facebook there, which may actually be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it doesn't, I'm not surprised based on what country it is, that they would go to this level of restriction. I'm surprised they just didn't ban it outright.
Right.
You know, it's got to be because some of the biggest corporations have money in the online gaming.
Well, yeah, it's land. Such a cash cow for them between Blizzard and
Tencent
and companies like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tencent is probably one of the biggest companies in the world.
Yeah.
Just because they have so much stake in other people's companies.
Yeah.
It just sounds like maybe the corporation won, which is maybe a sign of progress in China. Because I would assume the government would just, if they were feeling that this is addiction or stopping work production or whatever, would have just cut it off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the people with the money went to the government and said, let them play for a little bit, you know. sort of
That's
thing.
That's true. Yeah.
So, it's interesting. It's an interesting story.
Yeah, we'll see if America decides to adopt this. I mean, in our last podcast, we talked about parents trying to sue Fortnite. Yeah. So, you never know. Yeah. So, the next topic, speaking of Fortnite, this popped up on my Facebook yesterday as if it knew that I needed a topic to talk about today. So a 17-year-old Fortnite professional player named, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to butcher this because I am not a 17-year-old Fortnite player. I'm pretty sure his username is Faze Jarvis. Don't know if I said that right. He has been banned for life from playing Fortnite, which is pretty much the death penalty if you're 17 years old.
Yeah.
He basically was caught playing the game with aimbots.
Oh, which, come on, man.
Yeah. Which, obviously, they assist your accuracy when you're trying to fight people during the game.
They don't just assist. They just do it for you.
Right. Yeah. So he was filming himself playing, like streaming, playing with these aim bots, and he got caught, surprisingly.
Now, was it that someone figured out he was using the aim bots, or did like some notification pop up on the screen? Because that would be a funnier thing.
I don't know. I don't think...
Like, you're banned.
Hi, you're banned. No, I don't know if...
More like, your aimbot thing has crashed.
You know? You've been cut off.
Now, I bet, because this guy is a pro or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure he was streaming it, and like, nobody's gonna do anything about this, and then they did something, and they banned him for life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's probably what happened, too.
I'm just speculating.
This 17-year-old cocky gamer kid who is trying to ruin the game for other people. So basically, after he was banned, he released this video where he's like crying hysterically, and he's claiming that he didn't think it would get him in trouble and that he's never done this before. And
my brother did it. He was on my account.
Yeah. He was saying that he would only go ahead.
I say these are all the excuses you heard, like when you got banned from Xbox Live.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The same crap.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Like I was laughing when I was reading this yesterday. Initially, he said he would only use the aim bots when he was solo playing or in training mode. He never used it to compete. And then he basically said, "I fully accept my punishment, but please let me play again."
Yeah, that's not accepting your punishment.
No, exactly. So obviously I go through the comments of this article and I'm reading everyone just like ripping them apart. And they're like, dude, like it's a video game. Get over it. I'm like, have you never played Fortnite? Do you not know how these people get addicted to it?
Yeah.
And then one person basically said, saying what he's saying basically is just him covering up the fact that he didn't think he was going to get caught. He's just coming up with excuses. Yep. And I think his mom actually defended him too.
Oh, come on. Dude is a cheater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say his excuse is like the itty bitty ting of video games. Like, yeah. It's different. It's got that itty bitty ting.
Ting. No, it's the same. It's also like it's also like when Sammy Sosa got caught using a corked bat. Oh, I only use it for batting practice. Well, why is it anywhere near the field then? It's the same type of deal.
Yeah. I'm just in my head the whole time you're explaining this story and all. I really wanted this kid to have been in a competition, which doesn't sound like he was, and had a Milli Vanilli moment where the aim, like I said, the aimbot software just crashed and like popped up on his screen in the middle of a competition.
That would have been great.
That would have been a great moment.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we didn't get that much. But
you need to update your aimbot software.
Yep. So basically, I mean, of course, there are some people who are backing this kid saying, you know, that it was too harsh and that they should, you know, change their punishment. But Epic Games is not backing down at all, which is awesome. They said that they have zero tolerance for cheating. And they pretty much just said that this kid is the perfect example of people who ruin video games for other people. And they're not standing for it. So I thought that was pretty awesome. Yeah.
Blizzard should pay attention to Epic.
Yeah.
But we won't get into that story.
No.
we won't go there.
Yep. Yeah. We're done with that for now.
Well, I'm sure this kid will just go and make it, unless they IP banned him.
That's what other people were saying, too. He's just going to make another account, but...
He's not going to be able to compete.
Right.
But he can still stream and make money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He'll make more money now.
Or he'll start playing, you know, PUBG or what's it called? Apex Legends, because they're the same game. They're all the same game.
Yeah, essentially.
Essentially.
So my final topic is a little bit strange and kind of brief because there's not much information on it yet. And Tom, you might like this since you're a metal guy. Alice in Chains is going to be performing a digital concert in a video game. Yes, they're going to be performing in Adventure Quest 3D and this game called AQ Worlds. So it'll basically be a battle concert. So you're in this arena and it's like a battle arena mixed with a metal concert. So you're watching Alice in Chains perform on stage and there's all these like boss or monster battles going on while the show is happening. I was watching the trailer. It looks interesting. It looks intense. It's going to be taking place for 3 weeks, and it's like a nonstop free thing that you can participate in. So it runs from, I think now until November 30th. So
that sounds,
if you're interested.
Incredibly cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting.
And it also makes me think, who on Alice in Chains' marketing or management team knows someone that makes that video game?
Yeah.
How else do you get Alice in Chains to do that?
Right.
Like, how does Alice in Chains know about Adventure Quest 3D?
Right. Because I've
someone
never heard
knows
of
someone.
It.
Yeah. So.
Or they're like part of the same marketing firm or whatever or something.
True.
I would just love to hear that connection.
Yeah, there's only one other video game I can think where there's something similar to this. I want to say it was Tony Hawk's Underground. There's like a level where if you do a right number of things, a Kiss concert starts.
That's funny.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the first Underground. But that was that's the only thing I can think of that's anything remotely close to this.
Mm-hmm.
But that's cool. That's a really cool thing.
How does Kiss know about Tony Hawk?
They don't. They don't.
Can you imagine having to explain to them what they're going to be doing?
Oh, man.
Just being like, what?
This was also 10 years ago or 15 years ago or whatever.
Yep.
So they really had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just left my head. There was a story about, like, they were explaining to some like old rocker or something about a video game. And he just couldn't get it, and then he started playing it, and he like has now plays it all the time.
That's funny.
Yeah, like his somebody on his like his son or somebody like his eight or something picked it up, and it just reminded me of that, of like trying to explain, and then all of a sudden you hear this guy talking about, oh yeah, I play that game all the time. It's like hearing Ice-T plays Call of Duty, like for real, plays it. Like, and he's talk shit on Twitter about other people playing Call of Duty.
That's awesome.
But yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if with VR, if that'll start becoming more of a thing.
That would be really cool.
For VR. Yeah.
I feel like that's like the best thing for VR. Like back in the day on Xbox Live, you used to be able to have a watch party with people.
Yeah.
Which, and you could be like wearing your headset and watching a movie with other people at the same time. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Yeah.
I feel like VR would be the same type of thing where you can go to a concert without leaving your house and be in the same room as people you know and be able to talk to them while the concert's happening.
I think one of them does that, but it's like really bad quality. I think
probably it's got to be Oculus, right?
It's either Oculus or Gear or one of them. Yeah, it has the commercials with what's his name, Jonah Hill's in it.
That's
and he's
probably,
like,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know which one it was, but you know, he does a commercial where he's watching a movie with his friend. And he's like, and his girlfriend gets mad because she's trying to sleep next to him. You know?
Yep.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So I guess the only other story, I don't know if we got into this last time that I remember from the past couple weeks, is that Ubisoft has like delayed a whole bunch of games.
They delayed everything, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Watch Dogs Legion, which was supposed to come out. Got delayed until like probably summer or fall of next year. You know, just basically it seems like maybe the rush of Breakout? Ghost Recon?
Breakpoint.
Yeah. The reason that was rushed was probably because they would have had nothing else to make any money off of.
Well, and the fact that it's not doing very well, I think, also has something to do with it. They made it very clear that they wanted to make sure that their games meet the standards that Ubisoft needs and all that other stuff. There was a whole big press release that they had for it.
Yeah, that whole line where it's like, oh, we just got to keep the, since we're publicly traded, we have to keep the investors happy.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, what was it that they, I think we talked about Doom getting delayed, which apparently was supposed to come out, like, really soon, and then...
Yeah, it was supposed to be a November release, I believe, or December.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Last of Us got delayed.
Yeah.
Into May, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it gives you a little more time, Mark.
That was February, March, April was Last of Us, Final Fantasy VII, and Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
With one a month there coming out. So I'm so glad that occurred. And yeah, and the other thing, I don't know if you guys even care about this, but just throwing out there, maybe some of our listeners do, but it looks like Anthem is pretty much done.
I mean, it's been done as far as I know.
I mean, like almost officially, because the guy that was head of live events just left. And the guy that was like the creative director left in the last couple months. Like, it's not going to do like a Destiny thing where it turns it around.
They tried. Did they start making it free to play yet?
No, I think it's free to play Game Pass. No, EA Access. If you have EA Access, you can get it for free.
I mean, their playership went from like 1 million at the start to like, I want to say it's under 100,000. Now.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame because you know, BioWare basically, I'm saying slightly facetiously, basically killed off the Mass Effect franchise for this game.
Yeah, I mean,
because they rushed Andromeda because they were working on Anthem.
Anthem had such high everyone saw it and was like, wow, this is going to be the next Destiny. It's going to be the next big thing. And it was just, I feel like it was just too much hype.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The second they showed those things flying, that was it. It was over.
Yeah. And and you know what killed it? And I don't know if you were going here with this, Tom. I think Apex Legends killed it.
It definitely killed it because it came out like the day after and it was free and it was way better.
And yeah, it did everything that that game does, but better, you know? And
I think it was kind of a, one in the corner for who made people. Titanfall Respawn.
Respawn, yeah.
Because Respawn, they kept getting screwed every time they would put out a game. EA would kill it right off the bat by throwing it in against a Modern Warfare or a Battlefield.
Yeah, because Titanfall 2 is amazing from everything I heard.
Yeah, I beat it. It was awesome. But yeah.
Nobody talks about it.
Nobody talks about it because nobody played it because I think Battlefield 1 came out the same week. And I think a Call of Duty came out not that much longer after it, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And the one final game thing I wanted to put out there was like, do you guys know there's a Star Wars game coming out in like a week?
Oh, yeah. I'm very much anticipating it.
I looked at the calendar. I was like, holy shit, Fallen Order is coming out in a week?
Yeah.
And guess what? It's a Respawn game.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, for some reason, I thought that was like a spring game. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, okay.
They needed it to come out before Disney Plus came out.
Yeah.
Or around the same time.
Same time. Yeah, it was just, I just looked at it. I was like, okay, cool. Well, I'm not going to play that game because I got too much to play. As everybody knows on the Main Damey family of podcast, I hate Star Wars.
Do you actually hate Star Wars?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I was going to say,
I know it's a joke, but I didn't know if you actually hate Star Wars.
I'm not obsessed with them, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not either, but I really like Star Wars. So I've never beaten a Star Wars game, so I'm hoping I get through enough games before that comes out that I can play, either get it on Black Friday or something and be able to play it. Because there's a Need for Speed game coming out too that I need to buy.
Yeah, I've heard mixed things about that.
I know. I know.
It's a shame.
It will be a Black Friday purchase because I've already seen like two or three ads for Black Friday.
Yeah.
And that game's already going to be $35 on Black Friday, which is in 2 weeks. So I was like, good thing I didn't pre-order this stupid game.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, I guess we can move on to Game Boy with this one final statement. I just love that EA just threw up its hands about NBA Live and went, fuck it, we'll do it next year.
I think this is the second year in a row they did.
No, they did it 2 years ago.
Okay.
17, I think. There's not a 17. And they just said, fuck it. We'll see in 2021.
Well, I hope it's good. That's all. There needs to be competition for these games.
God,
because
2K is so good.
Well, the problem is, I'm talking about, like, all games, all sports games, because if you let them like, if you don't check them once in a while, you end up with the freaking, you end up with FIFA with microtransactions out the ass and stuff like that. Because yeah. NBA 2K20 is doing the same thing.
Yeah, there's a casino. There's a slot machine.
Right. Like, even with wrestling games, like WWE 2K20 is a mess. It's terrible.
A beautiful mess.
get somebody else to make it. Bring back Yuke's or something.
Yeah. Anyway. Hopefully we can show that off on the Extra Life stream.
We'll see. Hopefully we can find a red box that's got it or something. Yeah. So, as you know, this podcast is kind of built on retro games. And there was a big announcement a couple weeks ago by Analog, which makes FPGA-based retro consoles.
Did they make the Mini NT? Is that them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they make the Mini NT, the Super NT, and the Mega SG, which are the original Nintendo NES, Super Nintendo, and Genesis. They're all FPGA-based consoles. So they just announced the Analog Pocket, which is a Game Boy FPGA.
Yeah. Now, just for the people at home, what is FPGA?
Okay. So FPGA I should probably have mentioned that. FPGA is a field programmable gate array. So basically, you can take an FPGA and program it to work like a certain chip or set of chips, so they work exactly how the original chips would have. So basically, this guy Kevin Horton, who works with Analog, will take the chips and basically port them to an FPGA, so they work almost identically to the way they did on the original console. But while doing that, he also gives them HDMI output or any different type of output you need. You can change different scaling options and all kinds of other stuff. And it's all built into these $180 consoles that play original cartridges. Now, something else that's happened with these consoles is they get unofficial, but they're made by the guy who writes the damn firmware, but they're called jailbreak firmware, where you can play games off of an SD card too. So you don't actually have to have a wall full of cartridges. But this Game Boy announcement really excited me, because I've been looking for something to play original Game Boy and Game Boy Advance stuff on for a long time. I've taken Game Boy Advances and modified them to give them backlit screens. I've backlit an old DMG Game Boy, but none of them have been exactly what I want. And this console is going to be that, because it's going to have a backlit LCD screen it's got a super high resolution. It's going to make everything super crisp and clear. It's got rechargeable batteries, stereo speakers. It's actually got the original style link plug, so you can trade Pokemon if you want to. it's also they're eventually going to release a dock for it too, so you could plug it into your TV and play it, Game Boy games on your TV.
That's awesome.
Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games, and it will sync up with Bluetooth controllers and stuff, so you can do that too. So this is like the most exciting thing I've seen. I want this more than I want a next gen console, as dumb as that sounds, just for how versatile it is. And they're going to allow you, right off the bat, it will play Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games, but they're going to release cartridge adapters, so you can play Game Gear games, Neo Geo Pocket games, Atari Lynx games.
I was going to say, I hope the Lynx is on there, because that would...
Yeah, so they're going to... Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the collector industry will absolutely love that Lynx games are playable on. That's the one that has the really shitty battery life, right?
That one has a shitty battery life, and the Game Gear, obviously. But the Lynx was one of those weird things that no one bought, but was awesome. I don't have one, but I'd love to play the games on this thing. So just seeing this and getting all excited about it made me think about my first Game Boy memories and what it was like playing a handheld gaming system for the first time. And I just wanted to see if you guys had anything like that as well.
Yeah, so I'll probably have the least to say about this just because my handheld thing goes from that first set of Game Boy and Game Gear, and then I didn't have anything until the DS. There's a big gap there. You know, I didn't get the Game Boy Color or the Game Boy Advance or anything, even though I used my DS to go back and play Advance games because it had the adapter on the bottom, which, by the way, the first game I bought was Link to the Past.
Of course.
That's surprising.
I think I have it on every something that you could possibly get it on. But yeah, my first memories with Game Boy were the only two I can think of off the top of my head outside of Tetris. Everybody had Tetris for the original Game Boy. That song is still stuck in my head.
I can hear it right now.
It's real good. With green screen, and I didn't know those blocks had colors until I was in my early teens, because I never played it anywhere else but Game Boy. That was one that I played all the time. I got really good at it, and for some reason I've lost my skill with it over time. The other two games is the, I think it's Super Mario Land.
Yep.
That's the one that has the weird, you know, you shoot the thing that looks like a black ball and it bounces around.
Yep. It's not a fire flower. I forget what it's called, but it's not a fire flower.
Yeah. And oddly enough, it shows my signs of being a sports fanatic. I played Play Action Football.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Way more than that terrible game deserved to be played. because it was really bad. Look, going back to it when I have, you know, through emulators and stuff. Obviously, I don't have the original cartridge still. You know, don't get me FBI.
Sorry, you already have.
Yeah, and on Game Gear, I think I only played really three games. I think I tried, there was a Mortal Kombat game on there, if I remember correctly, that's really bad that I had, that I just gave to a friend when I was like 10. I mean, like, here, you're like, I don't like this.
Game Gear games are tough. None of them were very good. The Game Gear was essentially a Master System, just shrunk down.
Yeah, I played two games on it. I played two of the Sonic games on there. There was one that was like Tails focused.
I think it was just called Tails.
Yeah, it was like Sonic the Hedgehog something like Tale of Two Tails or something. You know, it was some weird name. But I played that one, and I played one that had Chaos or something in the title. And then I played World Series Baseball.
Yeah.
On there, which again is another terrible sports game. On the handheld. But yeah, I wasn't really deep into, even at all. I guess the Switch being portable might be the system I owned the most games for. Because in my 3DS, I just have Ocarina of Time. And then I downloaded all the classic stuff on there. And then I have Link to the Past on, you know, my DS. I keep looking for Phoenix Wright games, but I can never seem to find them. You know, like original hardware Phoenix Wright games.
Yeah, they're tough to find.
Yeah, I mean, I keep like hesitating to buy the updated trilogy to just try them out. But that's basically my memories, is just sitting in doctor's offices and, you know, family barbecues and just playing really terrible sports games. Yeah, I think I played almost a whole season of World Series Baseball at one point, and then, you know, won multiple playoffs things or whatever Play Action Football did while being sick at the doctor's office. And I will forever love the green screen.
Yep, can't beat it. Jenny, I know, again, we're not that much different in age, but I feel like you probably came in around the Game Boy Pocket or Game Boy Color.
So, yes and no. My first Game Boy experience was just the original Game Boy. But my first Game Boy that I ever owned was the Color.
Yeah.
So, all of my real memories come from the Game Boy Color. Pokemon started it all for me. So, yeah. My first game was Pokemon Yellow. Yes, I did that to myself. I feel like I've said this in past podcast,
like,
but
it's like the worst one to play.
Because I wanted the special one with Pikachu, and I had to level him up to like level 20 something before I could even beat Brock, So that was fun. But I played the crap out of that game. And then I just moved on from there. So I'm pretty sure I tried to remember all the Pokemon games that I've owned. And I haven't owned all of them because I kind of got... Honestly, I kind of got annoyed with keeping track of how many extra new Pokemon there were.
Well, that's the only problem. Like, I'm going to go a little off topic real quick right here. Mm-hmm. But the fact that people are pissed off that you can't have every Pokemon in the new game, who cares? There's right, too many. So there's too many. There's a thousand of them. I can't even tell you.
Right. It's insane. Like,
I've gone through Pokemon games and not known any of them.
Yeah.
I just pick the ones that I like in the beginning and that's it. I don't bother with any other ones.
Yeah. I've done Pokemon Yellow. And these are not in order either because I didn't feel like doing that. But I played Pokemon Yellow, Pokemon Crystal. I played Gold and Silver. My friend and I used to like trade the games back and forth. So I think I probably owned Silver and then she owned Gold and we would trade. And then we did the same thing with X and Y and Ruby and Sapphire. And that's it. I stopped after whichever of those games came last. I don't even remember anymore. Was that Ruby and Sapphire?
I think X and Y were the last
one. Okay. Yeah. So, but Pokemon literally was like my life for years. Yep. Super Mario Brothers Deluxe was also the shit. Okay.
Yes.
I would stay up so late in the dark on my Game Boy Color playing Super Mario Brothers. I had Kirby's Tilt and Tumble. I don't know if you guys ever played that.
That's a classic.
Yeah.
that's a motion control game.
It was so good. Harvest Moon, 102 Dalmatians. I don't know why I had this game. I think it was one of those like random games that a family member gave to me because they're like, oh, you have a Game Boy. Here you go.
And this game was $5.
Yeah. And it's pretty good from what I remember. I mean, I don't remember how old it was, but... and then the most random game that I was trying to remember what it was called, and I could just picture it in my head. Did you guys ever hear of Tokitori?
No.
The name is familiar. Why is it familiar to me?
So it's a game about a big yellow duck, which might explain why I'm so fascinated with Untitled Goose Game. I don't know. But it's literally just this super like 90s early 2000s looking character and has big huge white eyes and little orange feet, and it's like a big puzzle game. I don't know why, but I was so obsessed with this game, and I know for a fact that was another one where somebody was like, oh, it's your birthday, here's a video game, you kids these days like video games. And I remember looking at it and I was like, what the hell is this? And then I played it and I was like, this is awesome. So I really miss that. I am gonna go try to find it and play it because I miss that game. Awesome. But yeah, look it up if you get the chance. It's weird. It's you could like freeze ducks with ice and like hatch eggs and do weird things. But it was really fun. So those are my favorite Game Boy memories.
Well, I got the original giant brick DMG. For Christmas one year. So I had a weird childhood when it came to video game systems, because I had the NES, and then I think instead of getting like a new system, we got the Game Boys. Because when I was a kid, we traveled a lot. I have family that lives in Ohio. For reference, we live in New Jersey, so that's like an 8-hour trip each way. My parents also like to vacation in Virginia, which is 6.5 or 7 hours. So what else is there to do but play your Game Boy in the car the whole way?
Yeah.
So we got Game Boys, and then because we traveled at night, they got us these giant lights with magnifying glasses on them, so you could play in the dark. I remember those. But the first couple of games I got Super Mario Land, and I think Tetris Blast was another one, which is basically the same type of Tetris game, but you had bombs instead of just normal Tetris blocks. Mm-hmm. So those were like my go-tos. And then I got a terrible sports game, Mark. I got Ken Griffey Jr. Presents Major League Baseball, the Game Boy edition. And you can play a 162 game season in that. Holy and guess God. What? I finished one.
Wow.
I don't know how many batteries I went through to finish it, but I finished it.
I feel your pain.
But that was really cool, though, because it actually had real players. Like, usually the games that would come out would be not MLBPA or whatever certified they needed to be, but it had all the real teams, all the real players. And it was a lot of fun. And this is all before Pokemon even came out. I had all kinds of other games too. I had Super Mario Land 2. I had this weird Bugs Bunny game that I can't remember what it was called. Where you would like
there's
go
only one
a...
good Bugs Bunny game.
What was it? What was it called?
The one on, I think it's NES, the 50th birthday game.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that game's good. Real good. And that might have been around the time of that game.
Yeah, it was like
the Game Boy version of it.
Bugs' Maniac Mansion. It wasn't Maniac Mansion, but it was something like that. Okay. There was also a port of the Toy Story game from Super Nintendo, which was surprisingly good. Still hard as all hell, but it was surprisingly good. I had RC Pro-Am also, because, you know, I loved that game on the NES, so I needed it on the Game Boy.
Of course.
Played on the go. Still difficult, and it was even worse when everything was green. I played the shit out of these games, and this is all before Pokemon came out. Pokemon didn't come out till what, 97, right?
97, 98.
So I had all these games before that, and the Game Boy was kind of like, after I've played all this stuff, and then Pokemon came out, and then I played Pokemon forever. I think I still have 151 Pokemon on my original save. I think I cheated because I had a Game Shark, and I didn't have anybody to trade with. I didn't have a link cable. So I just figured, I will just trade with myself. Okay. I use the Game Shark. Because it's the same thing. I mean, there's no way to get it if you don't have somebody to trade with.
The first game was up against some kind of paywall.
Right. Because you had to have... My brother did have... I had red and he had blue, but we didn't have a link cable, so it was pointless. and I still don't think I have a link cable anywhere. I don't think I ever got one. But after that, I didn't have a Game Boy Advance. This is also weird because, like, when the Super Nintendo was out, there was the Super Game Boy, so you could play your Game Boy games.
Oh, I had that.
You could play your Game Boy games on the big screen, which I wish I would have had, because I would have used that a ton, because I still liked my Game Boy game.
Yeah,
because I had way more Game Boy games than I did NES games, because they were cheap.
I had all the weird things for... I had Mario Paint with the mouse and trackpad. The Super Game Boy and all that stuff.
Yeah. I also had the worst port of anything ever, probably. I had Killer Instinct for the Game Boy.
I think the only thing that saves Mortal Kombat is that it was on Game Gear.
I want to say there was a Mortal Kombat on Game Boy too.
Probably, I would see Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color, maybe, but not the original, because Nintendo was too, I think, squeamish about Mortal Kombat.
Maybe. Yeah, you're probably right. But either way, like I said, I had a weird childhood when it came to game systems, because the Game Boy was all I had until we got a PlayStation in like '99 or something like that.
Yeah.
So I just kind of had to live with the Game Boy and Pokemon for 2 years, which I did. I can't even tell you how many times I've beaten Pokemon Red. Too many to count.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
But you actually may be right. There may have been a Mortal Kombat Game Boy. Sorry, I looked it up. Yep, okay. I'm seeing it right here.
Yeah, I was pretty sure that they...
It's got a rating of 1 out of 10 from...
Yeah, it was terrible, but it
from
was
Nintendo
there.
Life, of all places.
So the Game Boy was a big part of my life. And I'm happy to see that Analog is doing something about it and finally giving us a modern version of the Game Boy, because people love these games and they're a big part of people's childhoods. So it's nice to have an easier way to play them instead of having to stare at a screen that's green all the time.
Or play it on a way too big TV.
That too. So that... I guess we'll lead us right into Retro Roulette.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Days of Thunder. So, I'm going to explain this to anybody who's not seen the movie. I don't know who you are that hasn't seen Days of Thunder. Have you not seen Days of Thunder?
Nope.
All right, I'm going to short synopsis.
Okay.
Top Gun with NASCAR.
I was just going to say that.
That's pretty much it. I mean, guy becomes a race car driver, struggling.
You're leaving out the best part.
What Nicole
is his Kidman? Name?
Same. Paul Trickle.
Yeah, yes. I figured that part out from the game.
So, guy becomes a race car driver. He's very green. He doesn't know how to drive a car correctly or whatever. He gets in a big wreck. And the guy he gets in a wreck with ends up becoming his friend, and he gets sick, and he's got to take his place, and blah, blah, blah. You know, all's well in the end. So they decided to turn this into a video game. One of the hardest video games I've ever played.
Yes.
So you're Cole Trickle, and you're in your budget NASCAR running every week, and you're trying to win these races. So the racetracks themselves are pretty accurate to real life. It's pretty accurate in the sense that you have to, draft people. And if you hit someone, you damage parts of the car, and you have to worry about the tires. If you like NASCAR, this is a great game for you.
Yeah.
But if you don't, as I'm sure we're going to find out, you're going to hate it.
Yeah.
Jenny, let's start with you because you've never seen the movie.
Right.
Probably never played a NASCAR game before, and it's an NES game on top of that, so it's like the trifecta from hell.
I turned it on, and I was like, all right, there's a qualifying round that you have to get a certain score before you can move on, so I'm like, okay, and then the game starts, and my car's just, like, crawling. I'm like, what is happening? And I'm like, which one of these two buttons, because I'm playing with a PS4 controller that I can plug into my computer.
Right.
So I'm like figuring out which button is which. So then I finally figured out how to accelerate, and then I'm like slamming into the walls and damaging the car. I'm like, what the hell? So then I figured out that you obviously, as in driving in real life, you have to hit the brake. Then if you hit the brake for more than a split second, your car comes to a stop.
Yep.
So it's definitely a very finicky game. So I made it through the first qualifying round and then to the first race. And the first race had 12 laps, I believe. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, holy crap. And I'm first of all, they start you all the way in the back. You're like in eighth place, I think. And there's no way in hell that you can catch up to the other cars. Maybe once or twice I caught up and I was seventh. Oh, no, I think I was sixth once.
Yep, sixth. That's the magic number.
But it's like, it's impossible. Like, I think it's impossible to beat this game and come in first. I don't know if you guys have done it.
I've never gotten better than seventh.
Yeah.
And I own the game. I've never got better than seventh.
It is very difficult. Again, another game where I finally looked up to see if I was missing something because my car would run out of gas.
You got a pit.
Right. I had no idea because I wasn't paying attention to the track where it said pit on the track. So then I realized, oh, there's a pit stop. Duh. So I pull over and I just fly through the pit stop. Yep. I'm like, what?
Because you didn't slow down enough.
Yeah. So then eventually I figured out how to stop. And then I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, I have to control the pit stop people.
Uh-huh.
It was just, you have to do it in the right order. Like the gas guy was easy. But you have to go on the one side and lift up the jack, and then you have to get the one guy who can walk around the whole car the whole way to take the wheel off. And it's ringing a bell every time a car is passing you.
Yep.
Except pretty much there was only one bell because I was almost in last place the whole time.
It's nightmare fuel is what it is.
Yeah. Do any of the other cars ever stop
for
pit stops? No. That's not fair.
I know.
It's bullshit. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't like Bionic Commando frustrating. It was just like, why am I wasting my life kind of frustrating. So, yeah, that was my experience with that.
What's your score?
My score in the Series Cup, I came in eighth place. And I had 142 points. I don't know if that's actually my score that you're referring to.
No, what is your score out of five? What's your
score? Oh, literally the game score.
Yeah.
I give it a...
You can give it a one. It's okay.
No, I wouldn't give it a one. I would give it a 1.8.
Okay. All right.
Because it wasn't so bad, but it was bad. That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark, yes. what do you got for me here?
So, I wanted to throw my controller through the TV when I pit it.
I told you guys it was going to be hard.
No. Not. I understood that, but it was. It's the NES thing with there being only two buttons.
Yeah. So, and you have to. Not only that, you have to control five guys with two buttons.
That was the thing where I would hit B too fast or whichever one it was because I was playing on a Super Nintendo controller and I go to the wrong guy and I'm like, fuck! Now I got to go around the circle again.
And it goes. Bah.
Yeah. And it's just, I was so mad at that. I wanted it to be like I could do like right, left, up, down, you know, to choose the guy so that I could go to the right one I want it.
Nope, it's the B button.
Oh, man. I would probably rate this game a little higher than Jenny just because I think the racing is actually fine.
Yeah.
I actually like the racing. The brake and gas feel real good for an NES game, especially after playing a game like RC Pro-Am and, you know. Rad Racer and stuff like that, where at times the brake feels a little flimsy. This, you can actually, like Jenny said, if you hit the brake too hard, you stop. Like, you slow down really quickly.
I literally looked through, because I don't think I'd ever looked through the manual for this game.
Yeah.
And I looked through it, and it literally says in the manual, you only need to tap it.
Yeah.
You'll never need to do more than that.
Yeah, I found the manual, too.
Feather touch it.
Yep.
Going around and I never got higher than sixth. I think it was the last race I did. I forget what it was. Which one of the tracks? I know because Tallahassee is the second one.
Talladega.
It's whatever the third or fourth one was. I got sixth in that. Just because I had finally figured out how to do the pitting and got my pitting under 20 seconds.
That's the biggest problem is trying to get a quick pit without losing every position you've gained.
Yeah, because for those of you out there that don't really follow NASCAR or do follow NASCAR, I think what under 10 or even less is like a really good pit. Like,
yeah, I mean, sort of. Yeah, in real life, under 10 seconds.
Yeah, and this is like I got to 20 and I was ecstatic because my first one was like almost a minute trying to get everybody. When I was doing it, each guy has to be in their certain place, even though it doesn't look like that. You can't make guys walk past each other too easily. And that took me a while to figure out. I have no idea, or maybe I didn't play it long enough, but I have no idea why this needs to be a Days of Thunder game. Like, there's literally no reason for it to be that.
Yeah, well, so it was probably just a game, and they said, oh, we have Days of Thunder. We can throw this on. The car itself has the paint job from Days of Thunder. And if you do well enough, you eventually get another car like you do in the game, in the movie. But I've never done well enough to do that.
I would love to watch a speed run or some kind of video on it.
Yeah, I would. You know. I don't know that there is another, if there is a video there.
There might be a long play.
Maybe.
There's definitely a long play video because there's this one YouTuber that played all 704 NES games and did an LP for all of them. There's definitely a video somewhere out there because this guy beat all 704 games. So we'll have to look that up. But yeah, like I said, for an NES game, the racing was good. I probably give it a 2.5. Because I had fun in the races themselves, trying to figure out how much to brake, where to pass high, pass low. Because, I'm a Gran Turismo guy in terms of, racing games and stuff like that. I probably should get into the Forza series, but it's just too many games on my plate to actually get back into driving games.
Well, if you have Game Pass, download Forza Horizon. I'm just telling you now.
Yeah. Like, I'll get into it, but that's the reason why I think I drifted more towards Burnout Paradise, was that I could just shut my mind off and go through all that. Yeah. It's not worried about upgrading my car and all that good stuff. This game is definitely, if you wanted to see what an overambitious NES game looks like, this game would have to be at the top of my list. Yeah. And like I said, 2.5 is my rating.
So, like I said, I owned this game since I was about, 5 years old. Can you imagine a 5-year old trying to play this game?
No.
So I had when I was a kid, I'd have my parents and my uncle, who was like a teenager at the time. They couldn't figure this game out either. It was difficult then. I was like, maybe now that I'm older and I've played a million video games, it'd be easier. Nope. No, it's not any easy. The driving part was better, because I remember as a kid, I would always damage the engine. And when you do that, your car only goes about half speed, and you never win anything doing that.
Yeah.
But I definitely feel like the driving mechanics were really pretty good for an NES game. Something that always blew my mind that I didn't think about until I was playing it now was the voice samples that are in the game.
Okay.
Like, that's an unheard of thing for a game of that time.
That's true.
There's rarely voices in any game.
Yeah, because it takes up so much memory.
Right. And of course, the only voice sample I've ever heard is the guy saying, "Nice try, pal."
I was going to say that. Yep, that's the only, all I heard.
Right. Because if you don't finish first, I think you hear that no matter what.
That's so unfair. That's like the whole "if you're not first, you're last" mentality.
Well, that's that's the way video games were. I mean, granted, there was a point system like NASCAR has, but I never, I've never gotten better than 7th place, just because of the mere fact that every time I'm doing well in a race, I will screw up the pit, and that's it. It's over. You can't catch up after that. And like I said, no other car pits. So you're at an automatic disadvantage. But overall, I mean, it like Mark said, it's very ambitious for an NES game. And if you can figure out the pits quickly, you might have a better time than we did. I would probably give it like a 2.8 because I like the driving. But again, if you don't have the manual for this game, look it up, because it's going to be very frustrating to try to figure it out on your own.
Like
Jenny said, if you're not going slow enough to when you're going into the pits, you'll just blow right through the pit lane.
Ran out of gas on my first race because of that.
Yeah. And it's a really fine line, too. Like, if you're not, you have to almost slow all the way down, but it's coming right off a turn always. So you're always kind of accelerating when you need to be braking to get into the pits. But that's that's NES games for you. That's why we do this, so we can see where we came from. So now that I've put you guys through that, time to spin the wheel.
Yeah. And to mention one thing before you spin the wheel, this'll be the game that we will play, I guess, the three of us on the couch at Extra Life.
Yep.
Together.
Wait, which one? The one we just played?
No.
Then this next game.
Okay.
Don't worry, Jen. I won't put you through that.
Okay. All right. Deal.
Let's see what we got.
All right. Hope it's a good one.
Okay. It's going to be it's another like racing type game. It's Uniracers for the Super Nintendo.
Yes.
There's never heard of it.
So you are a what's the word when you're
essentially a unicycle.
Well, yeah, you're a unicycle, and you are racing around two-dimensional courses, and you can like do tricks and stuff to go faster.
Okay.
But it's
you're literally this is the wrong word for it, but I can't think of the one for inanimate objects.
Yeah.
You're literally you're a literal unicycle. Like, no rider.
So like,
think of a Pixar unicycle.
Yep.
That's about all I can come up with. And I actually think this game got shut down because of a Pixar thing with a unicycle.
Interesting.
I think it kind of became a rare game. But
Uniracers is good.
I played it as a kid, and I own it now, and I've never beaten it.
There's a two-player mode, right? So it might be great for Extra Life.
Yeah, there's a two-player mode.
Nice.
So give it a shot, and then we'll play some on the Extra Life stream. Okay. And we do, I don't know why we waited till the end for this, but we also didn't tease it. We now have a Twitch channel.
Woo-hoo.
And a YouTube channel.
Woo-hoo.
Which hopefully I'll be able to we'll be able to get on and stream on that channel as opposed to the main Damey channel.
And I'm sure, and we'll probably have more announcements about that channel at Extra Life.
Yes.
You know, we can, you know, give a little more details, but yeah, we should have at least teased it at the beginning.
I was so Death Stranding focused, I couldn't think of anything.
So be on the lookout for that. You know, we're gonna have some time, probably get everything finalized on what the early outlook will be for it, the night before Extra Life, to be able to announce it the next day. So, like I said, on the on They Call This Movie, or maybe it was, God, I did so many podcasts this week, or it may have been on the Talking to Strangers, saying that we will have a, you know, we always have a big special announcement.
Mm-hmm. And those Talking to Strangers.
Yep. And we'll, and the special announcement will be, you know, us going into detail about this Twitch channel. So be sure to tune in if you are interested.
Yeah.
In following up.
Yes. It'll be November 16th, this coming Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 9 a.m.
9 a.m. We'll be starting with the
Eastern Standard Time.
Right. We'll be starting with a live Stranger Damies at 9 a.m. So if you like D&D, tune in. If you don't, tune in around 1 o'clock. That's when we'll be playing video games.
Yeah.
But we'll be playing all different kinds of games. We'll be playing, we're starting with some PC stuff. Mark's going to play a randomizer for Legend of Zelda. We'll be playing some Uniracers now because that's what we got. So we ended up with, I think that's a perfect game to play on stream. We got retro stuff. We got modern stuff. So we got just about everything. And we got the Jackbox Party Pack, which never fails.
No.
Never fails.
Usually I'm so excited. Highlight.
And hopefully we'll have a WWE game because we have one every year. We can't not have one.
Gotta keep that true. I mean, I think if there's a way to download my games, did I ever buy them digitally?
I have 16 and 17.
Okay, so we'll be able to at least keep the tradition, and plus we could always play the Aki ones if needed.
Yeah. And we have all the N64 version of everything. Yeah. So
we can keep the tradition of playing wrestling games alive. I don't know if anything will be as good as at the end of the first ever Extra Life, Ant being so pissed at 6 in the morning that he couldn't win the match that he just started beating the girl with a chair.
Oh my God.
Even though it disqualified him.
Classic.
That was great. So, Extra Life. Looking forward to it. You can donate tinyurl.com/extralife4. I wrote up the little article that usually goes with it. We have our photo or poster, even though Ant said it was a work in progress. I just put it up there because, you know, I had to get the thing up, by the end of this week. To be ready to go. I know, as you probably saw if you watched the Death Stranding stream, there seems to be something wrong with the API with the scraping the donation, so they pop up on the stream. I'll try and figure that out. Probably it'd be easier to figure it out the night before when we're together doing the final test, rather than figuring it out at my house and then having to remember what I did. Over on your computer. I know I'm looking forward to it.
Mm. I'm pumped. I'm ready.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
So, thank you all for joining us. For Mark and Jenny, I am Tom, and we will catch you in the next one.